Well, again, good evening, everybody. Well, we are continuing with our series on the Lord's Prayer tonight, and the fourth petition, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, just a reminder, next week we're going to be completing this series when we study Lead Us Not Into Temptation, but to be delivered from the evil one. But let us just lift up our voices in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bring to mind, Lord, the times in our lives that we have not come to you for forgiveness. And I pray that you also bring to our minds the time that we have not forgiven others for what they have done to us. And just as importantly, Heavenly Father, I pray that you bring to mind the need for us to forgive ourselves for the things that we have done in violation of your word. Father, let your Holy Spirit work on us tonight. Lord, lead us down the path of righteousness that you have so graciously given to us. And it is in the name of your most precious Son I ask these things. Amen. Amen. When we say, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors, the words, our debts, can also be translated as our sins, and our debtors as those who have sinned against us. Even though the English rendering is a little bit different, the theology is the same. Our sins are our debts, which are not forgiven until we forgive others that have wronged us. We are commanded to forgive our debtors, not bearing malice or ill will to any, but true love to all. For us as believers, all of our sins have been forgiven. So what does it mean to ask for forgiveness? Our forgiveness, when we go to God, when we have sinned, is a plea for restoration of our relationship with Him, which was damaged by our sinful behavior. It is to restore our communion with our Almighty God. Remember, He is always there for us. It is us, through our sin, that draws back, that withdraws from His presence through our actions. Forgiveness and restoration are paramount and are of paramount importance to God. And in fact, it's even more important than our gifts and our offerings to Him. Jesus made this very, very clear in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24, saying, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come present your offering. What Jesus is really saying is this. He says, don't come to me with acts of spiritual worship until you first settle your debts with others. He says, I want you to be clean of heart and for you to be in the place that gives worship to me. But brothers and sisters, this passage does not only deal with forgiveness. It also refers to our own guilt for the things that we have done to ourselves and to others. Guilt is a feeling that nobody likes. We do everything we can to avoid it, but we all feel guilt at times. Why? Because we're not perfect. Frankly, the only way to avoid guilt is to never do anything wrong. But we all do, don't we? We all do. And when we do, the Holy Spirit will eventually convict us and help us to realize that the only way to right the wrong is to give our is to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. If you have never been convicted by the Holy Spirit, the odds are that the Holy Spirit is not residing in you. And I would encourage you to really search your heart for those black spots, those dark spots of unforgiveness, and deal with them before God does. Because if God has to deal with them, it ain't going to be fun. It's going to make you suffer. Well, but then how then can we deal with our own guilt? I think the answer lies in the third stanza of my favorite hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," which says, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." In simple words, it means take your burdens and sins to the cross. Let Jesus deal with them so you don't have to. 1 John 1:9 says it all. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Amen? Amen. Again, it is of utmost importance that we understand that as believers, all of our sins have already been forgiven from a salvation perspective. But when we sin, again, we impact our relationship with God, and our confession is the first step that is required to restore communion with Him. And when we do, He is faithful to allow us back into His presence. You know, in today's world, it seems like everybody is blaming society or the economy or the environment for the troubles that befall us. We live, it seems, in a no-fault society. We blame our boss, our wives, our husbands, our kids, whatever. But we fail sometimes to blame ourselves and take personal responsibility for our own actions. And to overcome these feelings of guilt, we must turn to the Bible that says that the only way to free ourselves from this bitterness is forgiveness. And there is only one source of forgiveness, and there is only one way to get it, and that is to ask God. Matthew says, this is how you should pray: "Forgive us our debts." So then, how do you get rid of that guilt? Simple. You ask God. You ask for His forgiveness. And you know, I found that many say, "I do that, but I still feel guilty. I still bear that burden of guilt for all the sins that I've done in my life." Many times we confess our sins, but we just still hang on to that feeling of guilt. And we wonder, why is that? Why cannot I get rid of that guilt? Why cannot I shed that guilt? I believe that the problem may be that we do not understand precisely how God forgives. The Bible says that if we understand, we would not feel guilty. And the Bible reveals to us four ways that God forgives. Four ways. First, He forgives instantly. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17 says, "You are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Notice the word "ready." God is always ready, willing, and able to forgive us. He forgives instantly and immediately. There is absolutely no delay in His granting us presence back into His place. God is more ready to forgive you right now than perhaps you are ready to ask Him for forgiveness. He is always ready. And that's different from human forgiveness. Much different than human forgiveness. Oftentimes when someone who has hurt us comes to us and asks to be forgiven, we, in our selfishness, often make them grovel. While we rub salt into the wounds, we may say things like, "Well, I'll think about it." Or, "I'll forgive you when I'm ready to forgive you." Well, I ask you, have you ever said that or felt that when somebody has come to you and asked for forgiveness? If you have, search your heart, please. I beg you, search your heart. But God never makes us wait for forgiveness. Never. It's instant, immediately, and it comes the moment we ask. Because He did not design us to carry guilt. He did not design us to have bitter feelings about ourselves or others. He created us to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus, who died for us so we don't have to suffer for our sins. Well, if that's true, then should a believer ever feel guilty? Well, yeah, for about maybe 30 seconds. Because that's about how long it takes for us to admit our sin to ourselves, to confess it to God, and ask Him to forgive us, and then choose to change. Choose to change. It shouldn't take any longer than that to ask for forgiveness and to shed ourselves of that guilt. But you need to understand that just admission and confession of sin is meaningless unless you choose to repent. Romans 12:2 defines the biblical definition of repentance. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, our behavior is a response to our thoughts. If we think ungodly thoughts, we will do ungodly things. But if our thoughts are godly, we will do godly things. To change our pattern of behavior, we must first change the way we think. And that, my friends, is true repentance. First comes the thought process, the change in our way of thinking. From that, then, comes a change in our behavior. And I think that you'll agree that some people seem to always be on a guilt trip. They are not happy unless they feel guilty about something. And then there are others who are not happy unless they make somebody else feel guilty about something. The truth is that guilt can never make you happy. In fact, it will always render you miserable. But God says, no, no, no. Forgiveness is yours just for the asking. He not only wants to forgive you, He wants you to feel forgiven. God wants you to walk feeling forgiven all the time. He doesn't want you carrying a load of guilt. Listen, it's yours for the asking. And it's instant. Isaiah 55 and verse 7 says, "God is merciful and quick to forgive." Yes, He is quick to forgive, but you have to ask. If you haven't asked, start tonight. Start now asking for God's forgiveness. And secondly, not only does God forgive instantly, He forgives completely. According to Colossians 2 and verses 13 and 14, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus died for our sins, which ones did He include? All of them, that's right. All of them. God has forgiven us of every sin, mistake, failure, flop, and error that we have ever committed in the past, that we're committing right now, and that we ever commit in the future. All of these sins have been nailed to the cross and are covered by the blood of Jesus. And the true meaning of forgiveness lies in the way we act when we are hurt or sinned against. True forgiveness means that the way that we act as if what happened never happened. We never bring it up again or use it against the other person. When the Lord forgave us, He will never use our sin against us. As far as He's concerned, what we did never happened. Because we're covered by the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see our sin. What does He see? His Son. Thank you, Lord. You know, some of you might remember the movie Love Story, where the theme was love means you never have to say I'm sorry. Remember that? Well, that may be the way the world looks at it. But God says, no, 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 no. God says love means that you must always say I'm sorry. When we act in a manner contrary to the way God would want us to, whether it was a sin against Him or against another, He says, ask for forgiveness and restore that relationship. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that love keeps no records of wrong, and neither does God. Why? Because God is love, and He forgives instantly. And He forgives completely. Notice that the text says that He canceled the penalty by nailing it to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. So you can stop nailing yourself to the cross. He was hung for your hang-ups. You don't have to beat yourself up because the bill has already been paid. And your pardon was purchased at a very, very high price. Jesus gave His life to pay the debt that you owe. Yes, He paid the bill for you. He died so we can live. And oh, how I pray that you have let Jesus cover your spiritual debts and has set you free. Because when you're free, you are what? Free indeed. Jeremiah 31:34 says, I, the Lord, will forgive and forget their sins. Notice the word forget. God can forget. Isn't that amazing? That the Creator of the universe can forget? He chooses to forget. He chooses to forget every mistake, every sin we ever committed when we ask for forgiveness from Him. God says, I want you to know I forgive you completely. The problem is that if you don't really believe that God has completely forgiven you, you might think that God is trying to get even with you. Every time you have a problem, you might say, God is getting back at me for my sin. If you have an accident, a financial crisis, or the death of a friend or a loved one, you're going to feel like God is paying you back for the sin you committed. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you here and now, God does not act that way. He does not carry grudges once we come to Him in honesty and ask Him to forgive us our debts. When we confess that we blew it and that we were wrong and want to change, He forgives us instantly and He forgives us completely, and He will not punish us for that sin. And not only does God forgive instantly and completely, He forgives repeatedly. How many of you have ever committed the same sin more than once? Boy, I know I have. You know, we tend to get in certain ruts and do the same things over and over again. Dumb, aren't we? We are continually tempted. We get angry. We often lose our temper. But if we confess our sins to Him, He can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away those sins. You know, I used to think that when I confessed the same sin over and over to God, God got tired of me, got tired of listening to me. I could imagine God saying, "Can't you be original, Herman? You come back with the same old sin time after time." I think that God got tired of forgiving me. But He's not that way. You see, I was remembering all my past sins. But the Bible says that once I confess them to God, He's forgotten them. But I'm remembering them. It took me a while to understand that it is God's nature to be forgiving. Our God is a forgiving God. He loves to forgive. That's why He wants you to learn to forgive others so you can be like Him. You can be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And Jesus is our mediator. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that therefore He, meaning Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. Yes, He's always there, waiting, ready to forgive instantly, completely, and repeatedly. Tell me, have you ever procrastinated asking to God to forgive you for something you know you've done wrong? All of us do that. You know it was wrong, but you don't want to admit it to yourself or to God or to another person. Don't procrastinate. Ask for forgiveness immediately. Shed that burden to Jesus. You see, in a sense, guilt is like garbage. You have to take it out regularly and often. If you don't, the whole house starts stinking. You can't just let it pile up. If you do, it starts overflowing, and you say, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Now, that kind of sounds silly to let things go to that extent, doesn't it? But that's what a lot of people do with their lives. Listen, just take it out. Dump your stuff to God on a regular basis rather than letting it all build up inside of you. Don't let guilt pile up in your life over a long period of time. Keep short accounts with God. If you say something hurtful to someone, turn around and say, "Lord, I know that was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it." And tell them too. Ask for their forgiveness. Keep short accounts with God and with others. And we call this spiritual breathing. We breathe out the sins that we commit, the guilt, the mistakes, and the errors of judgment, and we breathe in God's power, God's love, and God's Spirit back into our life. And remember, God says, I want you to come to me and ask me for forgiveness repeatedly, because I forgive you repeatedly. And the fourth area is freeness. God gives freely. God gives freely. There is a saying that goes like this: if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But let me tell you that God forgives freely, and that is the truth. Free forgiveness. Wow, that doesn't even sound fair, does it? For we commit all of these things in our life, and God lets us go scot-free. Yes, free. Totally free from the burden of that sin and the wrath of that caused by that sin. You know and I know that we deserve to pay for all of the wrong things that we do. That's only fair, isn't it? But those who believe, the debt has already been paid in full by Jesus, who died on the cross for us. About 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Golgotha, Jesus Christ, God, came to earth in the form of a man and said, even though I'm sinless, I am perfect. I will take all of the sin of the world and pay for it, because I am the only one who has never done anything wrong. Those that do not know him might ask, why did he do that? My friends, he did it out of love for us. Romans 3 and 23 and 24 say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Notice the word all, the familiar word all. Forgiveness is free to all who trust in Jesus. And also notice the word freely. While it's free to us, it cost God a lot. It cost him himself. He suffered the humiliation of coming to earth and dying on the cross. When Jesus died there, the last words he said was, "It is finished." With arms outstretched wide, he cried out, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." It was the plan for salvation that was finished. His payment for everybody's guilt was finished. The words, the phrase, "it is finished," comes from a Greek word, tetelestai, which is a legal term that means paid in full. Yes, our debts were paid in full by the shedding of the blood of Jesus on the cross. Amen? Let me tell you that if you are walking around carrying a load of guilt, you're carrying it needlessly, because it has already been paid for by Christ. God wants us to be able to live guilt-free lives. All we need to do is accept that forgiveness, that free gift of salvation, and that free gift of forgiveness. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace, which is a free gift that we don't deserve, that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. You can't work your way into heaven by trying to be good, so that no one can boast. There is nothing to boast of, since it is not a result of our own effort. It is a free gift. Remember, grace means giving us what we do not deserve, while mercy means not giving us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve God's retribution, which means giving us what we do deserve. And what we deserve is to be thrown into the fiery pit, eternally separated from God. But God has provided a way for us freely that we don't have to suffer that end point of our lives. And folks, if you are suffering from deep guilt, stop trying to hide it. Be honest with God and be honest with yourself. Stop pretending that what you are doing is not sin when you know it is. Call it exactly what it is, sin, and deal with it. In his book Lists, a man named William Justice details some of the ways that we lie to ourselves to avoid that feeling of guilt. And here's just a few. We blame others. We blame everybody else except ourselves. We rationalize. We try to convince our mind that something is right when we know in our heart that it's wrong. We compare ourselves with others. You think my sin's bad? You ought to see what that guy's doing. We suppress our guilt. I'm not going to admit my guilt. I'm going to push it way down in my subconscious, and I won't even think about it. Or we escape. We look for any way to escape that guilty feeling. But when reality sets back in, we still have the same guilt because we have not dealt with the cause of that guilt. None of these ways solve anything. They eventually make matters worse. To deal with guilt, we have to admit it to God, agree with Him that what we are doing is wrong, and call it what it is, sin. Then believe that God wants to forgive you, and that is continuous, instant, free, and complete because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Accept that gift. It's there for you, but it's not yours until you receive it. Forgiveness of God does not become yours until you trust in Christ and take and receive that free gift. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 reminds us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, no condemnation. I cannot think of a better verse in the Bible than that, to remind us of our forgiveness from Him for the things that we have done. Wouldn't you like to let go of your guilt? We all suffer from it. There is no reason why you cannot walk out of here tonight with a clear conscience. Perhaps that's why God brought you here tonight, so He can do that for you in your life, to free you from that guilt that perhaps has built up in your heart for over years of sinful things in our past life. And as a close, I want to remind you that God forgives you instantly, completely, repeatedly, and freely. But are you forgiving others the way God forgives you? I ask you to think about that tonight. Are you forgiving others the way God forgives you? Instantly, completely, repeatedly, and freely. If not, oh, how I pray you will tonight. You will begin that process tonight. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these words that you have shared with us. Lord, I pray that we can understand how you forgive us, that we may bear the burden of our sin and nail him to the cross the way you have provided for us. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us so much that you have sacrificed your Son for us, that we may be free. And when we're free, we are free indeed, free in Jesus. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.